This is a HeadGum Podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Unbound. Chili, have you heard about Unbound?
I have. I got some of that in the mail.
Oh, yeah?
I did.
Cool. Well, I'll tell the listeners what it is also.
Tell them about it. I think they'll be really intrigued.
Okay. Unbound is a rebellious sexual lifestyle company for feminists, and they aspire to make shopping for sexual wellness products and erotic accessories a little less overwhelming by providing you expert guidance and taking the guesswork out of pairing products for a pleasurable experience. So they are a unique online destination. You get a quarterly subscription box. They're curated and they're only the best products. So they test hundreds of products and they carry only the top selections. Their products are satisfaction guaranteed and body safe. And if you don't like them, you can return them. And like I said, it is awesome. And Jilly loves Unbound. So for 20% off of your first Unbound purchase, visit unboundbox.com and enter code LOVIN, LOVIN. That's unboundbox.com, code LOVIN for 20% off of your first Unbound purchase.
If you are a dog owner or a non-dog owner and you aren't subscribed to BarkBox, you seriously should be. BarkBox is one of my favorite companies because they are committed to making dogs the happiest in the world. They work with local and independent businesses to make sure that your dogs get the best products on the market. All of the vendors that they work with care so deeply about the health and happiness of dogs that honestly, it just makes me feel so good giving my two dogs, Bernie and Tiny, these treats. So, how it works is you choose your dog's size. Tell them how big your dog is, small, cute, 0 to 20 pounds, 20 to 50 pounds, or 50 plus pounds. And then you choose a plan. 1, 6, or 12 months plans are available. You can cancel at any time, and it's completely free shipping. Bark boxes are shipped on the 15th of each month, so you have something to look forward to, and your dog has something to look forward to. And it's just the best. All of the edibles are made in the USA or Canada, and 100% of their products are tested on their own animals. BarkBox is a great way to try a variety of treats and toys so that you can just find the most unique stuff for your dogs, and they love that. What I love most is that when your dog falls in love with something from the box, you can easily find it again on BarkShop.com, or you can get it on their app or simply by texting them. Also, if you're listening to this and you're like, wait, I don't own a dog, you know, it's the best gift for your friend who wants a monthly surprise for their dog, or if you just want to, you know, give a dog you love a BarkBox, why not? So, to get a free extra month of BarkBox, visit BarkBox.com/lovin when you subscribe to a 6 or 12 month plan. That is a free extra month of BarkBox by visiting BarkBox.com/lovin, L-O-V-I-N, when you subscribe to a 6 or 12 month plan. I'm telling you, your dog is going to love it, and you're going to love it because you love your dog.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Lady Lovin'. I'm here with Jilly and Greta.
Hello.
The three of us are back again, a second week in a row.
I'm so happy that you referred to me by my real name.
By your given name, Jilly?
Jilly, by my real name that my parents birthed me with.
Me too.
It's not, guys.
Jillian.
She goes by Jilly now, though.
I do. And sometimes Lo calls me Jill.
Or Jillian.
I get really upset. Jillian's great.
I like Jilly Bean.
I don't know why she's so sensitive about her name.
I am.
It's a brand.
It's the one thing. It is. I'm a brand now. I'm not a human. I'm a brand.
Do you think Marc Jacobs would want to go by Marcus?
I don't know.
Is his name actually Marcus? No, I think it's just Marc.
Who knows? I like that, Greta.
I mean, I think it's just Marc.
Okay, now we're ignoring our guests.
Well, this beautiful giggle.
Yeah, it is a beautiful giggle.
Yeah, it is a nice
It's an
giggle.
Elegant giggle. It's a giggle that I'd like to be around all the time.
Is our This beautiful giggle is our guest. Everyone. Put your hands together for Jessie Draper.
Woo! It's our studio audience.
That's our studio audience. You guys, listeners, Jessie is a girl boss. She's the co-founder of Halogen Ventures, and she's like one of the queen venture capitalists of the entire world and my sorority sister.
You know,
this is true.
That's the most important part of that byline. Sorority sister.
I
would say venture capitalist. Yes. It's been, we love having businesswomen on the show, and it's been a hot minute we've had a bossy lady, and we're so happy you're here.
Well, I'm so happy that I could rep for the bossy ladies.
You're here visiting New York. What are you doing here?
I'm here. I have a bunch of meetings. I have a board meeting for one of my companies. It's called Work. W-E-R-K.
Great.
So that's my favorite spelling of work.
If you need a job, you go sign up and they'll help find you a job.
How will they help find
you a job? In every state?
Right now, they're just on the East Coast.
Okay. Is it an online platform?
It's an online platform. It's a marketplace. And you have to have had 4 years of experience in the workforce. But they work with great companies like Visa and TD Ameritrade and really large corporations. But the cool thing is they offer flexible to full-time jobs. So for people who want families.
So like if you're a mom.
Yeah.
That's like, awesome. Hi, I have a baby. I can't work all the time.
Yeah. And what I also like is they kind of hold these corporations accountable for making sure we're not killing ourselves working. It's like, no, we want to have a life too. And people want to have kids.
Do they have a meditation room at work?
I'm going to suggest that.
Cool.
Immediately.
Text the founder for me.
I think they just need a room that, like, if someone wants to go in there and scream, that it's, like, soundproof. You know what I mean?
I think everybody needs that.
Yeah, just screaming room. A safe room.
Do you have a screaming room here at your studio?
We have it. So we're, again.
This is the screaming room.
We're recording, again, at the Fuck Jerry office. And there's a studio behind us that is actually a green room, so it's quiet.
Yeah.
So you could scream in there if you want after you're done.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yeah, not
Sorry,
now.
I'm taking my jacket off.
I was just watching an episode the other day of The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and it's the episode where she goes and finds her mom, and her mom likes to ride roller coasters because she says it's the only place that she can scream.
Oh.
Honestly, have you heard of that workout class called The Class?
No.
Where you do yoga and other things and you're supposed to yell the whole time.
I have heard this.
People love it.
Yeah. Well, Anna,
it does feel good
Anna
to scream.
The class.
It does.
Should we scream?
Yeah.
Quietly. 1, 2, 3.
No, loudly. You guys, do we do that all the time?
Yeah, I think
I feel better, actually.
I feel really uncomfortable.
If you're a listener,
I know,
break.
Sorry that we just really accosted your ears wherever you are.
Wait, our listeners, let's give a silent second. Listeners, we just screamed. We want you, while you're listening, to scream.
Okay.
If you're in public, it doesn't matter. Do it.
One, two, three.
Okay. We hope you felt good. We hope you felt great.
I really like screaming.
Lulz.
I love screaming. I love getting into a screaming fight.
Where's the worst place to scream? I think airplane.
Sushi.
It would be weird if you were in a public restroom.
Sushi. Airplane is bad because you can, like, potentially get arrested.
Right. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
There's a lot of legal issues. A terrible place to scream is an airplane.
Yeah. Any kind of public, like... Like, where there's a lot of security, you shouldn't
be
screaming.
I think it'd be horrible to scream in a bodega.
I've definitely screamed at a bodega. My sister and I have gotten into, like, full-on fights in bodegas.
Oh, I was thinking
before.
By yourself. I guess.
Oh, they're just, like walk
just
in.
You're by screaming. Yourself.
Yeah.
The thing is, this is New York City. You can go into a bodega
anywhere.
And scream, and no one's even going to look at you.
True.
Like,
true.
No one's even going to care.
So true.
But I like screaming, you know, into canyons. That's nice.
Do you go to canyons often?
Like on a hike. You scream and you hear your echo.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
I do
scream into my pillow.
Yeah, I've screamed into my pillow.
Yeah.
I don't scream, I cry.
I do both.
That's my favorite form of emotion is crying.
Also, I like to throw my TV remote into my bed really hard.
Oh, you do like
that's
that.
A good like anger thing.
Yeah. I did it with my phone once. It shattered my phone. It left a dent in the wall. And
lesson
ever
learned.
Since then, I've chosen the television remote.
If you're gonna throw anything, you're gonna throw anything. Just make sure no one's around.
Yeah.
You guys, I have a new business idea, and I'm wondering if you'll invest.
Okay. I'm ready.
Oh, pitch.
Are we pitching Jessie?
Yeah.
Pitch. I love this.
Okay. A safe space for women where you can go and release your aggression. So there'll be like an area where you can smash a bunch of shit. Maybe like dishes and glasses or whatever. There'll be like a padded room where you can like go in and like fling your body around and like scream. There'll be a soundproof room for just screaming. Then maybe a punching bag.
So here's my question about this business.
Yeah. Actually, I love it. I think you need like an app so you can sign up for like
a class.
It is
pretty great. Do you pay to screen?
Yeah, you'd pay like a month. You'd be a member. You'd just be a member. And also maybe we'd offer some meditation and yoga.
I mean, you could also just go to like a Greek restaurant and just like throw plates.
You could, but could you say like, motherfucking fuck, cocksucker, asshole, cunt, face while you're doing it?
But no. Probably not.
Yeah, but yeah. I think that with your screaming safe room or whatever the hell it's called, I think there should be like no negative screaming. Like you can only scream in a positive
way.
Dude. Yeah.
No. If what? You're screaming, you're there for like an angry
thing. Yeah, you're there for an anger moment.
I know, but this is supposed to teach you that let go of your
Any
anger.
Any therapist will tell you like if you are harboring anger towards someone, you're supposed to let it out privately. Get angry, Jill.
It True, might be but negative. They say to like write a letter, not to like vocalize.
Pop off in your room, slam
a
door.
My said like if you're driving, if you're like driving by yourself, just like have that angry conversation
I've
with that
screamed,
person.
That's where I've screamed
you
know before.
Remember
in
when
your car.
I told you that I didn't like
in
your therapist?
In my car, I screamed, definitely.
Don't, you're not allowed
Especially
to not
why
show
I said that. I told Lo I didn't like her therapist, but I've never met her therapist. I have no idea what his or her name is. Just for some reason. I don't know. I don't get a good vibe.
They're just beef. Giving me a complex and like, I really don't appreciate it. So step off.
Okay, here's
or
the deal.
I might tell you to like, go fuck yourself while I'm by Whoa. Myself in my car.
Yeah, okay. She might God. Scream in her car.
All right.
So are you going to invest in my company?
So I need to hear a little more about the business model, but if you can get a certain amount of, I mean, let's look at it as like a soul cycle. Okay. So it's like a soul cycle model,
yeah.
Right? You go here. You punch the wall. Maybe it costs you $10 to punch the wall.
Yeah.
Maybe it costs you $20 to break a plate.
Right.
Or something. Then you could charge. Oh my gosh. You could have a gun range there.
Oh yeah. Whoa.
Like that could
take
cost
it to
more.
The next level.
How are you upcharging? Water bottles, towels.
Merch. Yeah, merch. And then like
it's gonna be called the rage zone.
And like your anger levels could escalate. Yeah. Like it goes from, you know, punching a pillow to shooting a gun.
Yeah.
No guns.
Instructors? Why not?
I don't know. It just got like...
It just went there. We
like,
just went there.
I'm upset now. We gotta know. No
guns are illegal shooting. In New York State. So, I mean...
There are shooting ranges here.
I mean, yeah, in a shooting
like,
range. In a safe
a gun
place.
Permit. It's just hard to do here in Manhattan.
Oh, no, girl. You can go and
so
shoot
So what's
the range
like
here.
Shooting a gun,
yeah, a
but
rifle.
Isn't shooting
a
gun?
A Nerf gun.
Not a handgun.
So you shoot a Nerf gun.
You shoot a water gun.
Or you throw something.
You guys, all of mine are
Jill
light.
Is
I
not
like
investing
light.
In Greta's
I'm not investing.
Idea.
Greta, I'll help you brand it, though. You
but
know
you
that.
Think, okay. You think SoulCycle has this great model that's like 45 minutes. They get
I
what,
love Soul
40
Cycle.
To 60 people. How many people fit in that room, by
it's
the
like
way?
Like 60.
And the they studio. Do it just every 45 minutes, like 10 times a day. So you can figure out how to like have anger sessions. And maybe you don't even need instructors. So you actually could be profitable much more quickly.
It's true. Because then I wouldn't have anyone to pay.
You could just go yell and you don't need people to like teach you how.
My thing though is like, I guess the only thing is the insurance aspect of it. I need to have a ton of insurance because if
and
we have a ton of angry
guard.
People
yes. What if they beat each other
gathering
up?
I don't know.
I feel like it needs to be private sessions.
Private
yeah.
Really
yeah. Kind of like might kill your bottom
yeah
like
that's that. True. So you can have 45 people screaming at once.
Yeah, a lot of small rooms. Okay, but wait.
Oh, like pods, like infrared saunas.
Exactly, like an infrared sauna for anger.
Yeah.
Anyway, I like it because I've never heard of anything like this.
Thank you.
And I think it could be a new fad.
It's called, it's
the rage
zone.
Is this the female Shark Tank?
Yeah. So I am down. You know, listeners write into us all the time being like, how do I go about starting a business?
Yes.
How do I get the money? How do I get people to listen to me? What do I need? What do I do?
Should I leave my job for this idea that I have? La, la, la.
Also, how do I find a job after college?
Yeah,
that is work. A big one.
Work. Oh, well, work, you need 4 years.
Yeah, but you know what? I would say after college, I think even during college, I think people forget is a good time to start networking. Yeah. And I look back and I had like 3 people I knew in the business world during college, you know, and I just started meeting with them in college and just asking a bunch of questions.
Yeah.
And I think networking is the best thing you can do. And now I look back and that was like, you know, 12. I'm like, how old am I? Oh, my God. Like 12 years ago or something that I have been meeting with these same people. And those are serious advisors and mentors that have been with me my whole career and can vouch for me in any job. And I think that's, you know, you want to start building your network as early as possible. Just
Very
ask
smart.
Questions. You don't have to have like a, you know, an itinerary. You can just show up and say, so what do you do?
Yeah.
So do people come, you know, venture, can you explain a little bit
what
being a venture capitalist is, having like a firm, fund, whatever the word may be.
Yeah. Tell us what you do. Yeah. Tell our listeners
what I do, guys. I run Halogen Ventures. We are a fund. We're a venture capital fund. We are the earliest money that you could get in a business. So if you have an idea, like this idea
like
that you just
zone.
Pitched.
The screaming room.
The Rage Zone. See, we have a name already.
Yeah.
So that's an early stage business because you don't have the location, the first location yet. You don't have the website set up. You need to raise some money for that. So that literally I bet on like 2-3 women or women and men in a room. So Halogen's unique because we're a fund that only invests in women. We invest, there has to be a female in the founding team of 5. And you come, you pitch, you know, you have a little, you do a little presentation. Some people have a great deck. You know, some people just illustrate their idea some other way. And then you put together a financial model, but don't get, you know, overwhelmed by that idea. That can be so simple. It's just like, this is what we're going to charge. We're going to test it with our users and see what works. And, you know, I think it's, when you invest in early stage companies, they're always very messy in the beginning. And I think this is a problem that actually a lot of women have, which is you feel like everything has to be perfect and it doesn't. Just throw paint against a wall. You'll learn so much. You'll be like, wow, it didn't stick. You know, like, right. What do I do now? And so I say, just especially for us as women, go for it. So as a fund, basically what I did is I went and raised a fund. So it's kind of, it's like, money goes into other, you know, it's money comes from one pot into another pot into another pot. But I've raised money for this fund from a whole bunch of larger investors to invest specifically in early stage companies that are, for me, they're consumer technology. So that means anything from fashion to healthcare that has a consumer arm or a product that can be sold through the internet or a physical product. And there has to be a female founder. So that's kind of what we look for specifically. We typically write, you know, $150,000 to a $500,000 check as the first check. And we go in with other investors. And, you know, I never think it's a good idea to have one investor. I actually am kind of concerned. If you have some, you know, buddy who has millions of dollars and is like, here's a couple million dollars to start your business, that is a good thing, but make sure you still go and get a couple small checks that might be more strategic, because investors bring a lot more than just the money. They bring really the advice and the experience and the network that might help you be able to sell your product, and they can tell you what they've seen before. And so that's kind of what I do as an investor. It's like you're this all-in investor. I feel like I'm like the 24-hour hotline for all of my companies. But that's big picture what we do, I think.
And can anyone come at you with an idea?
Yeah, anybody.
Do people pitch you all the time wherever you are?
Yes.
Does it drive you crazy?
It doesn't drive me crazy because it's what I've done. I love it because I know that I'm investing in people's dreams, and it's a really cool thing. So I think it's a really, you know, I actually love taking pitches. It's hard because you do see a lot of the same pitches. So right. Everyone... I think it's hard when people think that their idea is the most unique, and then you're like, no, actually, I saw 10 of these like last month. But I feel like this is, as investors, it's such a privilege. And so I'm so grateful to be able to, you know, bet on people like this.
Right. So what are some tips if you're just starting your business? What would you say like the main things to do?
I would say,
like, if you have this idea, starting. That's the first thing. You have the, like, from idea to execution, like, what are the steps?
So there's so many steps, but obviously, I would say make a couple decisions, you know. Are you going to be a sole founder or are you going to be a co-founder? I prefer to invest in co-founders because sometimes one falls off, something happens, and it's great when you have complementary skills. So make that decision first. Hash out the full idea, you know. How does this work? How are people going to pay? When are they going to pay? Do you build the community of people first, or do they pay from the beginning? So, you know, when I invest, I look for a new, unique product, a great team, and sometimes customers. Like, sometimes there's hundreds of thousands of customers involved and the product's messy. Sometimes the product's great, but they don't have any customers yet. So it's some combination of those. I look for the market size. You should definitely know your market size. That's one number you should have in your deck. And that's like, the tampon industry is a $2 billion industry. Mm-hmm. I mean, usually you can find these numbers in studies online. And that's a really important number to have. I typically invest in billion-dollar industries because I want to create a whole bunch of female billionaires. And so I feel like by getting their companies started, I hope they all go sell their companies for $1 billion. And I look at it big picture as women are, you know, the data is there that women will invest in women typically. Mm-hmm. So if I create all of these female billionaires, they'll invest in more women. We'll have more female CEOs in general and females just in leadership positions, because it's definitely not only about the CEOs. You know, that's my dream. It won't happen quite like that, but that's my dream.
That's a nice dream. Well, it's getting there. I mean, you're doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's... I threw paint against a wall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
I feel like so many people, and I like say this for myself as like a comedian and like a writer and someone that's all three of us, we're all creating our own ideas and things. And I do think it is really with women, the perfectionist aspect of it, where like you become scared to want to show someone an idea, or yeah, if you've been working on something and you sort of feel like it's never
perfect
or ready. Yeah, like, you know, nothing's like ever ready, right? Like you can mm-hmm. have an amazing idea
yeah.
and no matter mm-hmm. what, everything can always be changed and tweaked and adjusted and all of this stuff. So how far along do you like, or how far along would you suggest the ideas be like incubated? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's different all along the way. I actually love it when people come to me and then pitch me and I say, you know what, it's not right for me right now. And then I say, because of this, this, and this, and then they'll come back and have changed those things and said, you know, either you were right or you were wrong, but I changed these things. And I like to see a little progress. There's no perfect landmark. I mean, what I'd say is if you were trying to raise money for a company, just get out there and see what people say. If no one's investing, something's wrong. And you should, you know, really listen to what the feedback is that you're getting from these investors, and you're going to need to change something. And also, recently I was talking to a woman founder who said, I've been fundraising for so long and nothing's happening. And I said, well, how many investors have you met with? And she said, I don't know, like 5 or 7. And I'm like, you should plan on meeting 100 investors.
Yeah.
And just assume that you'll close like 10 of them.
Well, because
like,
you should also be picky, right, with who you choose to invest.
You should be picky, but you know, at a certain point, yeah, you don't want, I've actually turned away money, which was like the hardest thing I've ever done, because you're like, I want the money though, but you're a nightmare. And there is such thing as a bad check.
Definitely.
And so keep looking if you have a bad feeling about someone mm-hmm. or what have you. But I think also, you need to get out there, and that's feedback too, is all these investors, and that's building your network. So, you know, that's a nice email list. You can keep, you know, keep all these people posted on what they're doing. Often these companies raise many rounds. Everyone always says, well, what are the rounds called? And it's like, there's the friends and family round. There's the seed round. Sometimes there's a pre-seed before the seed. You could call it the banana round for all I care. Like, doesn't even matter. But then you go into like your Series A and your Series B, and those are typically much larger money. Like, you know, you're raising anywhere from 10 to 50 million, or if you're like Snapchat, you know, like $1 billion or something. And those, you're going to continue to raise. So you never know if you're going to have to go back to these investors. And there's also different pools where you realize friends and family rounds or pre-seed is typically kind of like high net worth individuals who can write a larger check, but might not be able to write $1 million check. And then you go to, then you realize, oh, well, I met some people who could write those $1 million checks. I'll keep them in mind for next time. It's like there's these different levels of money too. Mm-hmm.
Right. I think a lot of the people that write into us have business ideas that they haven't gotten off the ground yet. They're still sort of like in this conceptualized space of like, how do I even do this?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that a lot of people don't really understand the concept of kind of like beta testing something.
Yeah.
So could you talk a little bit about that? Like if you have like a product idea, like a physical product idea, and like you need a prototype, but you don't have the money or whatever, like how do you actually get that going and started? Like, do you have any tips for people that are sort of in that situation?
Yeah, I've seen tons of prototypes that are messy, that are made of clay or Play-Doh or just crazy things where it's like, this is what it will look like to size, you know, and you do your best and then you can prove yourself with all of the research you've done, or you've gone and, you know, talk to 100 people and mm-hmm. that are in your demographic, and here's what they say about this problem that you're solving. And there's so many ways to illustrate your idea. I think also one of the hardest things about pitching is like, no one will ever be, and it's probably similar to everything you guys are doing here, whether you're being a comedian, running a show, what have you, but no one will ever be as creative as you are about your idea. No one will ever have that vision. So sometimes if you're trying so hard to illustrate it and it's just not working, maybe they really aren't the right investor, because you want people who believe in you. You're about to like go to war with these people. It's like
right.
a 10-year commitment, a marriage you can't get out of. You know, it's crazy. So you do want to be in business with the right people. But as far as prototyping, it doesn't need to be perfect. I've seen a little bit of everything. And also there's ways of going to companies. There's hardware development companies that you can go. There's actually one in Brooklyn that one of my companies is out of. It's like a hardware incubator, and I wish I could remember the name of it. But one of my companies, Dog Parker, is there. And they sometimes will front you the money to create the prototype in hopes that you will then use their services right. when you have to develop many. Mm. And a lot of companies do that. You know, lawyers defer fees, so you typically don't have to pay. If you get a great law firm, you won't have to pay until you do get some funding in. There's a lot of great startup programs depending on what you need.
Cool.
I read a really interesting article going back to what you're talking about raising money and everything in the different series and stuff about Emily Weiss. And apparently she, in 2016, took in like the largest Series B raised by a female CEO. And she was just talking about how there's like a gap of $56.74 billion going to like over 5,000 male-founded companies. And like how it's really important that we have to close that. So
it's so hard.
It's really great that you've created your fund to do
I'm
that.
I'm trying, but you know, I need more women to be doing this. And it's funny because sometimes people say, well, isn't it competitive? Don't you not want to like socialize with the other female focused investors? There's like three of us, first of all. and then there's like five total female investors in general. But I need more because my money isn't going to get these companies off the ground. Yeah. My advice isn't going to get them off the ground. We all need to do it together. And the problem is men control most of the capital.
Yeah, so that's what she was saying in that article that I read.
So you're pitching these guys and, you know, typically old men who don't change their way of thinking mm-hmm. and you have to figure out how to illustrate to them. No, like the beauty industry is huge.
Yeah.
And no, this, you know, rental, like I know Jen Hyman from Rent the Runway has a million, stories about this as well. Like the rental industry is going to be huge. We're going to have 60% of our closet on rotation. And I think you have to illustrate these ideas to these men, and it's so frustrating. So yeah. I really want more women to play with their money. Like you guys, your, you know, listeners, I encourage you to just put some money in the stock market, buy Starbucks, buy something you understand in the Fortune 500 and just leave it there and let it grow for you, because it's about us taking risks and playing with our money.
It's so interesting too, because I do feel like obviously women buy more things than men naturally. And like women are way more active on social channels than men in general. And so it's like, you think that men would be listening to women because they would sell more.
Right.
And so it just really doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense. 80% of purchasing power in households is made by women.
Yeah.
You know, they make all of the decisions, and it's such an opportunity. And I look at these businesses that I'm seeing. Also, a lot of guys say, well, there's not enough businesses being started by women. I'm like, let me tell you, I can't keep up. You know, you're saying, does it bother you to be pitched all the time? It's all the time, you know, it's like wherever you go, you have to decide if you're going to say if you're an investor or not.
Even like your waiter at Chuck E. Cheese is like, Jessie Draper's here. I got to picture my idea.
It's true. They're, how often are you going to Chuck E. Cheese, girl?
I mean, on occasion.
I like that came to your mind.
I actually know the guy who started Chuck E. Cheese.
Amazing. What?
Wow. Yeah, he created Atari.
Jessie, you know everybody. No,
his name is Nolan Bushnell, and he created Atari, which was like the first video gaming system. Yeah. And then he's so smart. But this is how entrepreneurs think. He was like, okay, well, now I have this video game system. How do I get it in front of everyone? And then he created Chuck E. Cheese to be like a distributor of video games.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And the pizza at Chuck E. Cheese was really good.
You love pizza.
I love Chuck E. Cheese.
It is good.
I like pizza too.
Wait,
can we move on to more important questions?
well, yes, but we also just need to take a little break, see, to hear from our sponsors okay. that invest in us
great.
to make this possible.
Okay.
Some hot sponsors.
I have a question when we come back.
A big thank you to today's sponsor, Squarespace. And we love having Squarespace associated with Lady Lovin' because all three of us, me, Jilly, and Greta, have built websites using Squarespace. So if it's time for you to build your own beautiful website, definitely give them a try. You can also get a custom domain through Squarespace, and you can do so much with these amazing templates. You can showcase your work, you can blog or publish content, you can even sell products. And the templates are created by world-class designers. There's built-in search engine optimization, 24/7 award-winning customer support that I personally have used. If you happen to be on the Squarespace customer support team, perhaps we've chatted over the internet before. But if you guys need a new website, check out squarespace.com. You can register your domain name, start your free website or online store trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code LOVIN, L-O-V-I-N, to save 10%.
Today's episode is brought to you by Unlimited from Rent the Runway. It's their new subscription to get fashion that gives you the keys to a rotating dream closet for work, weekends, and everything in between. So here's how it works. For a flat monthly price, you get to rent unlimited clothing and accessories from designers like Vince, Theory, and Opening Ceremony. You choose three pieces at a time, and you keep each as long as you want. And when you're ready for something new, you just swap any of your pieces out for fresh styles. Jilly, have you gotten anything amazing from Unlimited?
I have. I've gotten a lot of amazing, beautiful dresses.
Did you use our 25% off code?
I did. And that is why I got more than one option, is because of the 25% off.
Yeah. So if you guys want 25% off your first month, all you got to do is go to renttherunway.com/unlimited. You can also download the iPhone app and you enter code LOVIN, L-O-V-I-N, at checkout to get that 25% discount. So renttherunway.com/unlimited. Get 25% off your first month with code LOVIN.
Okay, we're back. Thank you, sponsor, for those beautiful words. Jesse.
Yes.
Since you know everyone.
I don't.
Do you have a boyfriend for me?
Okay. That could.
This is the big question.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
This is the big question.
Honestly, you should like come to some of these pitch meetings with me because
really?
I feel like, yeah, there's so many guys. I just am so tuned out. But every once in a while I meet a nice guy and I'm like,
can I pretend to be your assistant?
Anytime,
that would be really
anytime.
Funny. I would love, can I come and pretend to be like an intern to watch this happen?
Greta will be the waiter at Chuck E. Cheese's and Low and
I'm
going to
like
Jessie.
Take notes and just quietly be like, are you dateable?
Wait, but by the way, with this like whole, you know, there's all this like sexual harassment and stuff going on in the tech world with women. But let me ask you this. Is this inappropriate? Because I do this all the time. I meet with a really cute guy and I realize he doesn't have a ring on his finger and I say, hi. Okay, now that we've gotten the business out of the way, I don't see a ring on your finger. I'm married with a baby, so I'm allowed to ask this. Are you single?
Like, no, that's
but
a
are
problem.
You allowed to
yes,
are you
ask
like
whatever you want?
Right? I think that if they're your employee, you're not allowed to ask that.
Okay. Well, they're not my employee.
Yeah. No, but I think
if you're pitching her, right?
Yeah.
I also think if the vibe like is right, if you guys are like vibing and you're having a nice conversation,
but, like,
I
sometimes
think it's
I
like,
meet someone and I'm like, this is like the jackpot for my friends.
Yeah.
Like,
does it ever work out?
I did set up one guy here who's in New York. Actually, I'll find out
so,
if he's
like,
still single.
So, like, do you
single.
Have any jackpots for me?
Yeah.
I'm
I'll send
for
you
a
couple.
Jackpot. That would be great.
I would like
yeah,
to talk
I keep
about
a little singles list on my
last
phone,
time I
actually.
Saw you, Jesse, I was in relationship.
I know.
And
I was confused
not anymore.
By this.
We can, well, we can talk about it right now. I
yeah,
got
what
dumped.
Happened?
I got dumped.
What?
It was awful.
Oh my God, I hate him already. Do you guys hate him?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I hate him so much. I hope he listens to this podcast. I hate you.
I would like to talk about.
I'm feeling better. It's fine.
Sexism and sexual harassment.
Okay.
have you ever experienced?
Why did you just divert that away from my love life?
Well, I want to talk about your love life, but while Jessie's here, I would like, we've had a few listeners write to us that they've had
so
that.
So much sexual harassment happening in the workplace.
So I would love to get her opinion. And then when we're done, I'd love to just see how, I'd love to check in on your emotions today.
Okay, great.
I think it's just about being confident and knowing right from wrong. And I think when I was like a young 20-something, I was not so smart. And, you know, I'd go to like South by Southwest and go to the conferences and people would, you know, conferences are always at hotels. So
yeah.
I'd have guys text me and say, hey, come meet me in my hotel room. And like, I thought that was like normal. And then I started just being like, no, you can come meet me down here. But you know, I think you don't know when you're entering the work world, what's appropriate and what's not. And so it's just about talking about what's appropriate.
For sure. And I think setting personal boundaries for yourself too. And not feeling like you have to like push yourself to do something you're uncomfortable with.
Or be too nice. I think we're always too nice.
For sure.
I don't know. I think that it's really difficult though, being a woman, because we all are very like eager women that like really want to be successful. And, you know, I think a lot of women feel that if using their sexuality will like get them to that point, or if a man is making them feel like it'll get them to that point, it puts us in a really bad place, because you're like, well, I want to be a vice president of this firm. And if that means that I need to flirt with the president of this firm, then I guess I'll just have to flirt with the president of this firm. And like, and it sucks, because I know so many women in super, super powerful corporate jobs and women in very small, tiny companies that are constantly feeling this way. And it's like, and it is in a sense, it's not harassment, but like at the same time, there is this pressure that's like, oh, well, I need to perform a little bit different than how a man needs to perform. And like,
for sure, there's that frustrating.
And how men think it's acceptable still to comment on a woman's appearance in the workplace. Like, I hear this so much from my girlfriends at work in corporate America, that their bosses are commenting on whether or not they're wearing makeup, or like, happy to see you in a dress today, or you should wear that more often. And it's like little things like that that are just like, okay, so I guess I'm just gonna need to shut my fucking mouth and sit here and take this from you while I try and achieve these next steps. Meanwhile, like, Phil and fucking David over here are showing up in like oily khakis and a shitty button down and are getting promoted before me, you know?
Whenever anyone has ever commented on my like appearance in the workplace, I'm like, don't ever comment on my appearance again.
Yeah, right. But that's
what I say.
But that's because I feel because we were raised to do that. We were raised to think like that.
An interesting thing, I was in a meeting the other day and it was me and four men, and one guy walked in and goes, are we gonna start charging them like men?
What?
Yeah. As in like charging them like more money rather than like less money like a woman would charge or something. So I was like, excuse me? And he like looked at me. I was like, don't ever say that again.
Yeah.
And then one of the other guys across the table was like, that was highly inappropriate. Don't ever do anything like that again.
Whoa.
Ugh. I've had
I like loved that, because besides me having to say that, like a guy said that too. And I thought that was really great. I mean,
that's what we need too. Like, I know that.
Oh yeah. People
brave.
Cannot fuck with me. Are you kidding me?
I like, right, honestly, but I think
I will destroy you with my eyes.
I've been in weird situations and I've never really like been brave enough to like say anything or to like save myself.
That's what I'm saying. I think that this is what I mean. I wasn't saying it clearly, but I mean that like even in these situations that aren't necessarily clear, like physical harassment, but are kind of harassment in a way, you know,
because it makes me like mental, like it just messes with you mentally too. Like I had one guy write me an email after I spoke at some conference, and he was like, you looked so statuesque in your blue dress, and this whole description of like of how I looked. And then he's like, I was thinking we should get together to meet for drinks or whatever. And I was just like, I'm gonna delete this email, because that just creeped me out. There was nothing about what I said on the panel or what it was, just sort of still bothers
it was
me.
Just an ode to your beauty, and that was it. I once had a boss tell me that if I knew what my ass looked like without my cell phone in my back pocket, I would never put my cell phone in my back pocket again.
Oh my God, Lo, why didn't you tell me that? I would beat him up for you.
Work there? I would kill him.
Yes.
For a little while, and then I quit and moved to New York.
Oh my
well,
God.
Well, I told you guys the story.
He was like ran an agency. He like thought he was hot shit.
I've told this story on this podcast before where an ad exec offered to pay me for sex.
What?
You never said that.
I don't think you've told this story.
No. Greta, we've heard a lot of your stories.
I know. I don't know this one.
Really?
Okay, so I was working when I worked, I used to work in stills production for photography. And like advertising, and we were working on this really big job with a huge, huge ad agency, and we were traveling for the job, so we were gone for 10 days. We were like all together for a really long time, whatever. And my job, as I was really in charge of like talent and crew, being their producer, making sure that everything was going smoothly. And we had a specific, like, this is, like, something so small, but we had this, like, cart of food that was specifically for crew and talent. We were working with, like, children on this shoot also, so I always had to make sure legally that they had, like, food available to them at all times. Also, crew didn't get a chance to, like, eat lunch and, like, have breakfast. We were working crazy hours. There was this one guy, this one ad exec, super high up. He was a creative director or whatever. He, the whole trip, would, like, come and try and, like, steal food from my little cart and, like, all this shit. And I would say to him, like, please, you can't. At first, I was like, haha, like, please don't. And then I was like, you actually can't take that food. I need that food. And he would be like, what are you going to do, fire me? And I would be like, what? No. Just, like, this food is not for you.
It's
you
for
have
the
all
children.
The food in the world. This is for these kids that are working, like, little slaves for you. And just, like, he was constantly doing things like that. Like I ordered...
thinking he was flirting with you or something.
Yeah, and, like, and flirting in this, like, dumb, annoying way. Like, oh, like, at the end of the day, I would order a vodka rocks, and he'd be like, oh, someone's watching their waist. And I would be like, fuck off. Like, fuck off. You're so annoying. Anyway, at the end of the trip, obviously I couldn't say what I would want to say to him because we were living in this, like, confined space. I was working with another female producer, and I would tell her that he was, like, skeevy and weird and stealing my food and being annoying. But the last night of the trip, we had a wrap party, and he came up to me, and he was like, do you like to be naughty? And I was like, what? And he was like, I can tell you're a naughty girl. And I was like, excuse me? And he was like, I like to get naughty, too. I live downtown with my wife and kids in New York, but when I feel like getting naughty, I'll go and check myself into a hotel. And I was like, oh, is that so? Like standing here being like, what the fuck? And then he was like, I would love to take you back to my room. I'm happy to compensate you.
What?
10,000, 20,000, you tell me.
What? What'd you say?
I looked at him.
$1 million, motherfucker.
I looked at him and I was like, for this pussy daddy? I'm kidding. I was like, 25 million. No, but I looked at him and I was just like, are you fucking serious?
That's crazy. That's some pretty explicit sexual harassment.
My
right
thing
there.
Is,
well, then, like, but then I ended up telling the head producer of the shoot.
Good.
And
yeah,
she,
that's the kind of thing you have to report it. Yeah, and like I think that's what everyone needs
bad.
To know.
They stopped working with that agency afterward because they told on this guy, and I guess, you know, it's like we don't want to work jobs with him and then whatever. And that was like, a huge account, too. Yeah. It was like, but it's just so crazy because he was just like lurking on me, and then like, ugh, just being gross. He also like when I walked by him once, he literally whistled.
Ew.
And then he went up to me one day and told me that I was making him sweat. And I'm
oh my
just
God.
Like, you're disgusting.
Also, I don't know a lot of creative directors that have like 10, 20K just hanging around to like throw at you.
First off, I think it's really amazing that you were able to tell someone. And that your agency stopped working with them.
I was so fucking pissed. I was just like,
no, but you. I think it's really important. I think a lot of people are afraid to speak up because they're afraid that they're going to get fired, or that like you know they're not going to like you know move up in their job. But it's really important. You have to have someone that you trust that you can speak to, and that can be on your side. And Because if not, it's just like, what the hell? It's just going to keep happening.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been harassed even in like other, like when I worked in retail, there would be like a guy that used to come into the shop when I was like 17 and 18 years old asking me to try on dresses for him because I was the same size as his wife. And I would do it because I'd be like, oh, I want this sale, right? Yeah, and like right. At the time, I'm like 17, 18 years old. But in hindsight, he was just like a perv and wanted me to just like try on clothes for him. And like, who the fuck knows what he did with those clothes? Like, I don't know.
Wrong.
He jizzed all over those clothes.
That's disgusting.
Speaking of jizzing and sex, it's a good little segue. Perfect. I mean, outside of harassment.
Do we get to talk about my boyfriend again?
Yeah, we'll talk about your boyfriend. I'm sorry, Lo. I just thought it was important because I want women out there who've ever, if they've experienced anything negative in the workplace, to speak up, stand up for yourselves. Don't worry. It will be okay. And if you have an issue, write us. We'll help you.
I agree.
Yeah.
And
100%.
We love you. And I'm sorry for all the women that have ever been harassed.
Yeah. And honestly, like Jilly said, seriously, the only way to end harassment is by speaking up about it.
And you have to tell someone. If you don't have someone at work you feel like you can tell, tell someone outside of work and figure out who the right person would be.
I'm lucky because I, you know, have made it very clear with the men that I work with because I've been doing some different jobs and they all know. I'm like, if this is like female positive and if anything is does not that way, like you better stand up. I will like, I'm not going to stand for that. You know what I mean? So it's important.
It's important for men to stand up too. It's important for men to stand up.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Like it's important for men that you work with to stand up for you as well as you standing up for yourself.
Yeah, because I think when you talk about this stuff, it's like, you know, we get into these, like, man-hating holes by accident. It's like, no, we just need support. And
exactly.
You need to make us feel valued and, like, it's okay to speak up. And you can back us up.
For sure.
It doesn't have to be a girl doing that.
It's like Emma, what's her last name? He for she.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Emma Watson.
Emma Watson, he for she. Male feminist. We need ya.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, again, like men, exactly, like men in the workplace shouldn't be silent either.
Yeah.
Like if you're a guy and you see someone getting harassed in your fucking work environment, like it's just.
Totally.
It's crazy.
All right, now let's have some fun.
Yeah.
Lo, let's talk about your heartbreak.
Let's talk about your heartbreak.
Well, Jessie just discovered that I'm single.
Yes. Okay.
The last time I saw her, I had a boyfriend and now I don't. And it's been a very interesting couple of months. I've learned a lot about myself. I'm feeling better. It's been a lot of growth in my life. And yeah, I'm dating. And so since you know everyone, I thought you would be a good person to ask.
Good. I'm glad you put that out there.
Go out on dates with.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to send you men. I keep this little, like, I feel like I have my own little Tinder on my phone. I have like a notebook where I just like write down
people that are single.
Yeah, because don't you, I don't know.
I like setting people up. I think it's fun. I mean, I'm unfortunately with a bunch of like comedians that no normal person would ever actually want to date.
You have some cute friends. I've gone on some dates with your friends.
I do come across a lot of comedians.
Yeah.
Not comedians. Comedians on Bumble.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like stand-ups. Like, I'm a comedian.
I wonder if sometimes on dating apps people just put comedian because they just don't like their job.
Maybe.
Pause.
But also, like, comedian for so many people is a red flag. Do you know how many people, like, especially if you're a female comic, so many of my female friends that are comics have, like, the hardest time dating non-comedian men because most men are like, I don't want to, like, oh, you're going to talk about me on stage. Like, I don't want to date you.
I dated a guy once. Well, we went on two dates. And the second date, he told me that men don't like women who are funny because it's like emasculating.
I strongly disagree.
And I was like, why are you on a date with me? I'm very funny.
Yeah, you need a supportive guy who will laugh with you.
Yeah. Actually, Reese Witherspoon had a really good quote recently that was like, if there's a man afraid of your ambition, like, run away.
Yeah.
I mean, all I'm quoting do everyone is today, guys. Someone that's funny and you're funny back, because like all you want to do is just laugh all day.
Yeah,
it's true. I think.
How does you're married?
Yes.
Where did you meet your husband?
My friend set us up, and she's actually set up. You should meet her because she has set up 3 marriages.
Whoa.
Wow!
And she was a Kappa.
Is she a professional matchmaker?
She is not. She just.
She knows love when she sees it.
Yeah. Her name's Lindsay Child and she's incredible.
Shout out to Lindsay Child for creating this beautiful marriage for our friend Jessie Draper.
Hey, Lindsay.
And a baby.
Yes, I have a baby and I'm
so excited.
Oh, you're pregnant.
Yeah. I like have kind of forgot actually, to be honest.
How many months?
So I'm 16 weeks.
Wow.
So, cool.
Yeah. I know it's
congratulations.
Like
I'm like doing my math. Just kidding. Yeah, I got it.
But Yeah, I haven't even like talked about it actually. I've just announced it on your podcast.
Amazing. So, congratulations.
Oh my gosh. But it's kind of so like exciting. The second kid, so I feel very relaxed about it.
Is your hair like so luscious right now?
I don't know about it. It looks luscious.
That, but all these other weird things really happen.
And like it's what? Like, tell us the positives about being pregnant.
The positives? Well,
I feel like people always talk about the negatives these days. Oh, let's really? Talk about the positives.
Well, I actually feel great this time. Last time I was sick the whole time, and this time I literally have forgotten that I'm pregnant. And so I'm like, oh shoot, I can't have wine.
Do you ever forget and just order a glass of wine?
Yeah.
I feel like I would do
wine,
that.
You know, in France, they still drink wine. And like, you know, my grandmother's always like, I drank and smoked through all my pregnancies and my kids are fine. But I think you just, it's like everything in moderation. If you want a glass of wine, have a glass of wine. There's this great book called Expecting Better that this economist actually went through and read all the studies. And they realized that the alcohol study, and I'm going to butcher this, but it was something like the people they studied who drank alcohol and had issues with their kids and miscarriages while pregnant were also on cocaine. So it's like, okay, well, like, don't do cocaine.
Yeah, that's very true.
While you're pregnant.
Or just in general.
Yeah, I feel like I know a lot of pregnant people now that will, like, have a little bit of wine, but not a lot.
Yeah.
Like, and not every night, obviously, just like a little bit here and there.
Totally. I think it's fine. I think it's fine. I had my brother's wedding was on Saturday and I had a little wine and I felt okay about it. It actually didn't taste that good to me. So that's the disappointment is you're like, oh, this doesn't taste the same. I was so excited about it. I'm trying to celebrate, but it doesn't.
Well, I have a question since you're like a powerful woman, did you find it hard dating men before you met your husband? Were they like intimidated by you? Were they not down with the fact that you,
That's such a good question because I do feel like that.
Yeah.
I do feel like that. I feel like I had a lot of, I look back at my ex-boyfriends and I'm like, they were so mean to me. And even my friends back in my Kappa days, which now I'm just reminiscing about, but even, they were always like, your boyfriends were so mean. Like, this guy said this. And it was like, they were always trying to put me down. And I think I was just dating the wrong men.
Mm. I have that problem.
Yeah, you need to get out of those.
I know.
Dump
I think I've.
Are you in a relationship now?
No.
This is really fun. I want to hear about all of your love lives.
Okay. I don't think we have enough time.
I can tell. I
don't know. We don't have like 7 years.
How's it going? Is he supportive?
He can text you.
My boyfriend.
She's like,
my boyfriend is incredibly supportive.
So nice.
Yeah, your boyfriend is
a comedian.
100% a feminist.
He is. Yeah, my boyfriend is like, oh,
he's more of a feminist than you, probably.
He's like a woman. Yeah, no. He's not a woman. He's a man. But he. He's so supportive, and I had been with basically every guy I dated until him was such an asshole to me in hindsight. Like, if it wasn't in, like, an overt way, it was just in, like, little ways that made me feel insecure. And he's the first person that I've been with that has really made me, like, be really, like, proud about who I am and, like, embrace who I am and not want to change myself and not want to change my interests. And also, he's never made me feel dumb, which I've always really dealt with.
That means the world.
No, it is.
So that's.
I've had really big problems.
We're going to find you someone.
With exes.
Don't worry. We're going to find someone supportive.
Oh, for me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And for Jilly. I'm excited.
And for Jilly.
I'm dating someone, but we'll see.
We'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
Do they listen to this podcast and then say, what do you mean we'll see?
I don't think any of the guys who are dating listen to this podcast.
No. They better not.
I think my boyfriend. No, I think my boyfriend listens to the podcast.
I like this guy I'm dating, but you know, Will we're dating. Great. You can't like, you know.
You can't put your money on it yet. I get it.
Not when you're dating, you know.
I understand.
Can you talk to us quickly, because we are running out of time, ladies, about your one company for women. I'm sure you have more than one company for women, but your one company for women dealing with vaginas.
Oh, yes.
You really teetered off the sex train.
We've been all over the map. Yes. So I invested in this great company called Flex, which you said that you had tried.
I'm not a beta user. I've been a user of Flex.
And it's a menstrual disc that you put in like a tampon. You can pee with it in. You can leave it in for 24 hours. You can have sex with it in. It's like, an alternate tampon device.
You can do it all.
You can do it all.
Is it reusable?
So it If you're in a jam, it is reusable. Crazy. You're not really, you know, it's like they can't say that on the box, but I've had those questions. Oh. You could just like rinse it out. It's kind of gross to talk about, but you could just rinse it out if you're in a jam. If you're camping, for example.
Has it ever melted?
No. It doesn't melt in your vagina.
No, I just...
What?
Melts in your mouth.
I mean, I don't know how hot...
Like, what if you were like... If I don't know how hot your vagina car.
The... I mean...
I don't know. That's my concern with plastic.
No, it's not. It's a special kind of plastic. Okay, that so it doesn't happen.
Got it. Is it like BP plastic?
Yes.
It's okay, like so it's like water bottle, like no the TSS good water bottle.
Or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Toxic cool. shock syndrome.
Yeah.
And she started it because she got yeast infections, and there's this whole. It's very similar to why you started your company.
Oh, yeah. Love Wellness.
The Love Wellness.
Because there's this whole community of women who can't wear tampons.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So that's why she started it.
Yeah.
Why did you invest in her business?
I invested in her business because I saw in about 1 month, I saw about 6 tampon company pitches. And I said, you know, I really look for disruptive companies that are doing something unique and different. And so then I met with Lauren and she, gosh, you both have the same name too. It's like kind of crazy, actually. You
Spooky.
Need to meet. But I met with Lauren and she had created a new device. And I thought that was really cool and unique. And it was still going after this tampon industry, but it wouldn't be competing with tampons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is probably the best thing when you're
and she's a force. And she just like, it's she amazing. Like could like breathe fire.
So you cool. look for disruptors.
Disruptors. And like things that you haven't seen before, you know?
Yep. Totes. Amazing. I get it.
Well,
guys, this was so great.
Yes.
It was.
And Jesse, every, you're a dream.
Jesse, every episode.
Jesse's going to be on TV, y'all.
Oh, yes. Catch Jesse on TV at Meet the Drapers.
Yes, Meet the Drapers.
In 2 months.
Yes, in
this
2 months.
This sounds like a 1950s sitcom I want to tune into.
Yes, tune in.
Is it about your fam?
It's like if Shark Tank met my family and Shark Tank only invested in technology companies. So
cool.
They're more internet-y companies. But it's my grandfather, me, and my dad. And
cool.
It's kind of cool because 3 generations is... Everyone has very different perspectives.
Yeah, right.
For sure.
And it's a lot of me being like, Dad, oh my God, that's so embarrassing. But then it's a lot of just they don't see the perspectives I see in this day and age, too.
I love
very
it.
Very exciting. Well, one other thing that we do on this show is we have our guests shout out a lady that they love.
Hence their lady loving.
Oh.
Yeah. So a lady you admire, someone that you in your family or an entrepreneur or... Whoever you want
a fictional
to be.
Character.
Yeah,
even.
Just someone that's dead or alive.
Or alive. Like,
it's just someone that's dead.
It could be anyone.
It could be anyone.
Abdul to
it could be your
Clinton.
Invisible friend.
To your mother.
I love it.
To Lo. Just
to
kidding.
Me, to Lo. Well, I'd like to shout out Lo for having me on the show. So thank
cool.
you.
Shouts to Lo.
Shouts cool. to Lo for the connect.
And cool. then I think I'd like to shout out, you know, Sheryl Sandberg. I think she gave me so much.
I love Sheryl.
I had her on this talk show I did quite a few years ago, and it was before she'd come out with Lean In, and she changed my life. I think I'm doing what I'm doing because she gave me a break and came on my show, and then it kind of opened the doors for all of these other incredible women and men to come on my show, and I'm so grateful to her for supporting women, and she really did support me that way, and that just... changed my life. She helped me create my network.
Amazing. So nice.
Shout out to Sheryl. I love her too.
Did
I hope to meet her one day.
Actually physically lean in when you guys were talking.
She did lean in.
Look at that.
We're all leaned in right now.
Yeah. We're all
I haven't read Lean
we're
In,
all,
but I think I should.
We're all leaned in honor of Sheryl.
I just started reading. Yeah, I've read it. It's so good. And I just started reading her second book and I was sobbing in the first 10 pages.
God.
So just like mentally prepared, but really good.
What's the second book?
Because her husband passed away,
right?
And her whole thing before had been about how her husband was so supportive of everything she did, and she did it all because she had an amazing husband. And so then she, it's called Plan B.
Oh yes, yes, yes. I've seen Plan B.
Did you cry?
It's really good. Yeah, I cried.
I feel like I would cry the whole time.
Yeah, I was actually on a plane and I was sobbing. But everyone around me thought, I like cry on planes. Do you guys?
I do. I get so emotional on planes.
I think it's the like oxygen level.
No, also, you're like, there are movies, you're suspended in time. It's very, you're disconnected. You're like,
you're alone.
You're alone. You're with your thoughts.
Someone's heavily breathing on your shoulder.
It smells bad. Transit is like really emotional.
It is.
Yeah. It's like the physical act of like taking yourself from one place to the next. And like this, I want to write an article on like the emotional aspect of transit. Like I get emotional in cars. I get emotional on planes and I get very emotional on trains.
I've made a lot of playlists like alone in the airport, like depressed on a train. They're all very emotional like that. You should listen to them.
Cool. Well, on that note,
Jessie's been great.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, Jessie.
Thank you, guys.
And where can our listeners find you?
Yes.
Halogenvc.com. So if you have a company, we have a little form you can fill out.
Oh, great.
And we take cold pitches. So if you have a crazy cool idea, please pitch me.
Do it.
I'm also very accessible online. So at Jessie Draper on Twitter. And I think Halogenvc.com is probably the best place to find me.
Awesome. Great. Thanks for coming on the show.
Jessie, we love you. Thank you.
Thanks, Jessie.
Thank you.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.